Chaver, first of all, just all the learning tonight should be le'ila nishmas. It's hard to even say, it's so sad. Some of my close Talmidim lost their father less than a week ago. They're still in the middle of Shiva. Kevin Marek, Mordechai Marek, Sean Marek, Shlomo Yaakov, and sadly lost their father. Well, also the uncle of many very close Talmidim, close Chevra, Tassie Weiss's brother, Jonathan and Josh, and David, lost their uncle, Tzvi Yoel ben Yekusiel. Tzvi Yoel ben Yekusiel, Bez Hashem is Barach. His neshama shel Aliyah, he should be a male to Yosha for his beautiful mishpacha. And Bez Hashem is Barach, all the Torah we learn should be a schus for his neshama. We should be zoicha to be reunited with Chis Mason and Mashiach Sakeinu b'mher b'yameinu. And until that time, the mishpacha should only have nechama and have simcha to talk about. So these are very big days. Very, very big days. Very powerful days. Mamish, just a few days before Yom HaDin, a few days before Rosh Hashanah, we have to make the most of every moment. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a beautiful mitzvah, the mitzvah of tshuva, a very powerful mitzvah, an amazing matana, amazing gift. If you think about it, it doesn't make so much sense. Misvara, logically, if we do something wrong, we deserve to be punished. You do something wrong, you deserve to deal with the consequences and ramifications of one's actions. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Baal Rachim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands the pressures and the taivas of the world. And He gave us a gift of tshuva. It's an amazing gift. And in fact, the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Nun Dalet, says there are shiva dvarim that nivru koidim shenivra oilim. There were seven things created before the world. That means these things are in a certain sense l'mala min ateva. They're above nature. They don't make sense within the confines of this world, within the gedarim of this world. They were even prior to the world. And one of those is tshuva. The Torah, tshuva, Gan Eden, Gehenim, Kisei HaKavod, Ubeis HaMikdash, Ushmo Shel Mashiach. Not to get into all of them now, we're just going to focus on tshuva. Tshuva was created before the world. And the Gemara says it's learned from a pasuk. In Tehillim Perek Tzadi, where David HaMelech tells us, "Beterem Harum Yuladu," before the mountains were born, before the mountains were created, if you keep on reading, "Batoymer Shuvu Bnei Adam," Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Shuvu Bnei Adam, do tshuva, return." Beterem Harum Yuladu, before the mountains were created, "Batachol Aret," and you brought forth the earth. Tashev enosh adaka v'toymer shuvu bnei adam. So we have to understand, why does David HaMelech point out specifically before the mountains were created? The Gemara tells us what he's referring to, and we learn from this pasuk that this is one of the shiva dvarim that nivru koidim shenivra olam. So it was before everything was created. Why specifically point out before the mountains were created? Zoning in and trying to... What are the mountains? What's the connection between the mountains and tshuva? It's one incredible Torah. It's based on something I learned from Rav Shmuel Brazil. I've been much living with his sefer on these days. Incredible stuff. He brings down... We know there's a line in many Gemaras. Kedushin Daf Lamed. And Chazal want to tell us that we want to get rid of the Yetzirah and defeat the Satan. So the language used, the phrase used, you all know this lineage from Gemara, L'Satan Geira Beinecha. To the Satan there should be an arrow in his eye, in your eye, specifically Beinecha. So we have to understand, why is that? Why is it specifically that to destroy the Satan is Beinecha, in your eye? Destroy it. Why not Geirei bilibecha, in your heart? If you take an arrow to the heart, you're going to be dead. Take an arrow to the eye, so it might, lo aleinu, blind somebody. It probably won't kill you. I mean, possibly, but possibly not. An arrow to the roshecha, to your head. What le'inecha? Why specifically to your eye? So he brings down from the Ben Yehoyada a tremendous idea. We all know, and we've said it so often at this table, that the koyach of something, the mahus of something, is found within its name. The essence of who we are is found within our names. Names are something very precious and very chashiv, and not just something, you know, a parent decides to name a child. That sounds nice. A name is given Baruch HaKodesh and carries within our midos, our mahus, and the name of something, the name of an entity, the name of whatever it might be. So if we want to understand the depth within what the Yetzer Hara is, you have to look at its name. And the name of the Yetzer Hara is Yetzer Hara. Now within Yetzer Hara, Yetzer is just an inclination, is just a creation, is just, there could be Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, as we know. So the essence of the Yetzer Hara is found in the word Hara, which makes sense. It's something that's very bad, it's evil. It's trying to cause us to bring bad to us. But the Ben Yehoyada says, within the Hara, the essence of the Yetzer Hara is found in the end of the last letter within its essence, within the word Hara. Because the last Achron Achav Chaviv, that's the lingering taste of what the Yetzer Hara is. Every letter is very precious, not just every word. I saw, you know, I never knew this before. Maybe it's only, I don't know, I think it was serious. I don't think a joke. It looked, I was in a home recently. I'll give the details another time. You know, after the recording's off, I have to share. But anyways, I was in a home recently. I was actually standing there together with Tuvia. I saw this with Tuvia together, actually. You remember? So we're in a home together. And on the wall of this home, there were diplomas. And there were diplomas of graduate schools. Some of them were very, very chashiv, of various chashiv graduate schools and colleges. And right there in the middle was a diploma of one of the boys that grew up in this home. And it was a diploma of a BTL. Of a BTL. Well, Chever knows what a BTL is, right? Chever, it's a very chashiv diploma. I don't know why, apparently. I mean, listen, again, for those that are mamish, oimle Torah, and could get by with such a thing and have a good pronunciation, it's beautiful. I'm not making fun. I think it's not good for people. I think it is good for a lot of people. I think other colleges are good for it. It depends. Chanech Lenar Pidarko, and there are those that a BTL is wonderful for and beautiful for. For sure, no question. I mean that sincerely. I don't know why a parent then would put it on the walls if this is a big accomplishment. Most places just give you a BTL because you sat and learned. Okay, unless they're saying, oh, Baruch Hashem, this is what they have as a symbolism of all the learning my son did. Maybe, okay, very beautiful, fun. But I always heard BTL, BTL, BTL. What is a BTL? I always thought BTL stands for Bachelor of Talmudic Law. That's what I always thought it stood for. And I don't know, maybe it does in some places. But this BTL, at least, and I look closely, Bachelor of Talmudic Letters. BTL is Bachelor of Talmudic Letters. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. It means he's an expert in Talmudic letters. Now, I don't even know what Talmudic letters are. There's Aramaic letters, I guess. So it should be Bachelor in Aramaic Letters. What are Talmudic letters? You know, unless it's letters that were sent from Tzaddikim about the Talmud. I don't know, maybe Igros, you know. He has a degree in... In Igros Moshe. I don't know. Chmeistish. I don't know what is. Bachelor of Talmudic Letters. It was very interesting. I always thought it was Bachelor of Talmudic Law. That's what BTL stands for. That would make a lot more sense, I think. But it said Bachelor of Talmudic Letters, right? You saw it, pointed out. But obviously, maybe, now, based on what we're saying here, it's not just that the name is Chashiv. Every letter is Chashiv. Bachelor of Talmudic Letter is telling you when you learn, and this is a big Torah maybe. What he's telling you, you have to be medayik in every single letter when you learn Gemara. You have to be medayik in every single letter when you're learning. And it's true. We learn halachas from one extra letter, one missing letter, right? Every letter is precious. So every letter in a name is precious as well. And the last letter is the most precious, the Ben Yehoyada says. And therefore, what does he say? The essence of the Yetzer Hara is found in the final letter of its name, which is what? Is Ayin. which is the letter Ayin. So when the Gemara tells us in Kedushin, Daf Lamed, and throughout Shas and various Makoimos, in Daf Pe'alif, and in Sukkah, L'Satan Gerib Hinecha, the Ben Yoyada says, you know why the arrow is in? It's not Le'inecha in your eye, Le'ayinecha. Take an arrow to your Ayin. Get rid of the Ayin. Get rid of all the bad from the Eitz Hara. Get rid of all the Ayin of the Eitz Hara. That's Le'inecha. That's what Heilig Ben Yoyada says. What happens now when you take away the Ayin from the Eitz Hara? When you destroy that, and that's the destruction Eitz Hara you're left with? Har, you're left with a mountain. A mountain is a pinnacle. A mountain is a high point. A mountain is where we want to be. Miyale b'ar Hashem u'miyakum b'mkom kacho, right? We want to live, go up there. Where are the most chashuv moments in the history of our nation taking place? Always on top of a mountain. Akedat Yitzchak. Kabbalah Satorah. Where is the Beis HaMikdash going to be? On top of a har, on top of a mountain. It was and it will be. How do we get to a mountain? How do we get to a har? How do we get on top of the mountain? We have to get rid of the, when you get rid of the ayin, which is the essence of the Eitz Hara, you're left with, of hara, you get rid of the ayin, you're left with har. So now we understand what's pshat. What? Once you get rid of the ayin, now we understand, b'terem yuladu, that b'terem harim yuladu specifically, prior to the mountain being created, we brought about tshuva. Because tshuva is the key to enable us to climb up the mountain of Kedusha. Through tshuva, which is our destruction of the Eitz Hara in our life, the destruction of that ayin, I'll be able to climb up Mi'alav Hashem Me'akum Kum Kachacha. Man, this Torah. Through this, we could understand another Gemara as well, which what I'm about to say is definitely not pshat in the Gemara, but drush in the Gemara. There's a very famous Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis. Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis says as follows. Kididarish Rabbi Yehuda lasid lavo meviu HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'etahara v'shoichto v'shoichto. We've mentioned this Gemara many times. In the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to shecht the Eitahara. Get rid of the Eitahara. Destroy. And how do you destroy the Eitahara? Just get rid of the ayin, right? So as the Gemara continue, now it makes sense. B'derech terush. V'shachdum ne'asadikim v'nei rishon. Shech z'yitzar in front of the tzadikim v'nei rishon. What's the Gemara continue? Some of the Chevron knows. Tzadikim nidbe lehem kehar. To a tzadik, the yitzar is going to look like a har. So pashup pshat in the Gemara, as the Gemara continues, is a tzaddik, zelu mazel, when you have such a chashuv person, the Yetzer Hara is much stronger, much bigger against you, and you have to defeat that Yetzer Hara. Because it's, right? We know in life, whenever there's competition, you play down or up to your competition. Any sporting team, we've watched this a million times in our life. And the best of teams, when they're playing a very bad team, they play down to the competition. They don't put their best self and their best foot forward. They don't put as much effort in. When you're playing a very good team, you put in much more effort, and you put your best foot forward, and you put in your most effort, right? So Yetzer Hara does the same. Push up shot in the Gemara, the Eitz Hara, when it's a tzaddik, is working overtime and working really hard, and the Eitz Hara is nidbe l'kahar. And the Gemara continues with Bnei Rishayim, Rishayim Boichim, they cry, because they say, Heichlo yichlanu lichlo jeschut ha-sahara hazeh. They say, how are we not able to defeat the Eitz Hara? Because to them it appears like what? A chut ha-sahara, a blade of hair. Push up shot is because the Eitz Hara is not so strong, doesn't need to be strong against a Rasha. It's not such strong competition. Abra what? Now we can understand maybe a new drush in the Gemara. What's mean nin malokahar to a tzaddik? To a tzaddik? A tzaddik, someone who destroyed the Eitz Hara in their own lifetime. A tzaddik put an arrow in the ayin and reached up the har. So nin malokahar, to me, the Eitz Hara turned into a har, into a mountain. Abra what's kizchut ha-sa'ara? Now, if we're going to give Jerush into the Gemara, we have to not just darshan the Tzadik part, we have to darshan the Rasha as well. So what's pshat in the Rasha? It looks as if it's only a blade of hair. So listen, this is tremendous. Shmuel Brazil, I think this was his own Torah, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe this was also Ben Yoyada, I don't recall. If you take Gematria Yetzer Hara, Gematria Yitzhara is 575. Exactly. Sa'ira, hair. Shinayin Rishay. Meaning to them, it's still the Yitzhara. To them, they haven't destroyed that ayin turned to hey. It's still the Yitzhara. So it's Chud Asa'ira. It's like that hair. Gematria Yitzhara. He says as well, if you take Gematria Yitzhar, Yitzhar is an easy one, is 300. Yud Sadi Resh. Yitzhar is 300, which is Shin. Hara is Hei Resh Ayin. Shin Ayin Resh Hei is Seira. So you see it also just clearly like that. Meaning that's the Chud Seira. That's the Chud. That's the blade of hair. To them it's still, which is representing, meaning to a Rasha it's still Yitzhara. To a Rasha it's still a strong Yitzhara because I've never destroyed it as a Rasha. But a Tzaddik destroys the Yitzhara by getting rid of the Ayin. And Mamish climbs the Har of Habayis, Har Hashem, Har Maria, and is one with Hashem. So we have to get rid of the Ayin. That's why it is. The Nachash, which represents the Etahara of Adam Arishon, the Pasuk in Bereishis, Per Gimel, says it was what? The Nachash was Arum. Arum, right? Pashup Shad is, was naked. Now you all know the Pasuk. Arum is also Ayin Roim. Its Ayin was very lofty. Its Ayin was very strong. The Nachash was a very strong, it was the strongest, the Nachash was the strongest Yitzhara of history. It brought the downfall to the world that we're still trying to mamish climb out of. So the Nachash was Ayin Roim, Arum. It was a strong Ayin. In fact, Medrash brings down, if you take the amount of Psukim from the beginning of Bereishis to the Klala of Adam Arishon, which was brought about by this Nachash, by this Yitzhara, they're exactly 70 Psukim. 70 is Gematria Ayin. All that was Ayin. Was the Koyach of Ayin ruling over the world. That's the Koyach of the Yitzhara. Until we defeat it and turn it into a Har. We see this as well. Where's the book? In Parashas Vayera. So we have the Maisa of Akedas Yitzchak. The Maisa of Akedas Yitzchak. And Baruch Hashem, it's an incredible Nisayon of Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. And they pass with flying colors. And they defeat the Yitzhara. We know so many Midrashim that the Yitzhara tried to stop them and built a body of water and all. And they defeat the Yitzhara. And the Pasuk then says afterwards, Vayikra Avram Shem HaMakumu Hashem Yireh. Asher Yehomer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yireh. Avram calls that place Hashem Yireh. Asher Yehomer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yireh. Because he says on that day, Hashem was seen on this mountain. Why is the word Hayom there? We spoke about this, I think, last week already. The word Hayom is often found in places which is completely unnecessary. I mean, we know what's going on then. Why do you have to say Hayom? So there's a Medrash Tanchuma that brings down the Makom of Akedas Yitzchak. Listen, this is crazy Medrash Tanchuma. The place of Akedas Yitzchak, which we know is Har HaMoria, is the holiest place in the world. Is where the Beis HaMikdash was and will be. Initially, was very, very low. It was like it was mamish. It wasn't high up. It wasn't a mountain. It was only once Avram defeated the Yitzhara and was willing to shech Yitzchak that it turned into a har. In other words, Hayom Bahar Hashem Yireh. It was that day that it became a mountain. So he named it Hashem Yireh because on that day it was Bahar Hashem Yireh. That day it became a mountain. We saw Hashem. Why did it become a mountain on that day? Now we understand. Because Avinu fast his 10th death and defeated the Yitzhara. When you defeat the Yitzhara, you get rid of the Ayin. And what are you left with? You're left with your Har. Miyala b'Hashem miyakum kum kacho. He climbed up that Har. Each and every one of us is striving to be on that Har. We want to be up and close to Hashem and feel close to Hashem. Let's be every one of us. When we're davening properly and learning properly and having proper midos and not struggling with our shmir sanayim, we feel like we're above the world. We feel like we're in a har. We're above this world which is so petty. We know it. We as Yidden are above this world. You know, you see, you watch, I'm sure all of us, we were just looking before, a little more into it this year than ever in the past. But Uman during these days, I'm into it, obviously. My son is there for the first time. I'm living a little bit through him. I've never been there for Rosh Hashanah. I've been in Uman, but not for Rosh Hashanah. And you see on all the Jewish websites and Jewish news, all the crazy scenes, But it's mamish like out of this world. It's like craziness. You don't see this like anywhere else. And I'm there, certain things you're watching, they show on all these news sites, the things that are going on in the airplanes. Mamish, I saw today this video. It's on Air Ukraine. On Air Ukraine. What Air Ukraine? Mamish, Shmuel flew Air Ukraine. I don't know why we let him fly Air Ukraine. But you watch an Air Ukraine, and on Air Ukraine, they're going around giving out the food and the drinks. Who are giving it out? Not the stewardesses from Ukrainian stewardesses, blonde, erichlestish, whatever. Two Hasidim are walking with the thing on the wheels, the push cart, and giving out the food to everybody with the stewardess watch. Where are we? Have you ever seen? We've all flown. Every one of us has flown. I've flown hundreds of times maybe in my life. I've never in my life seen anyone but a stewardess give out the food. It's not a normal thing. It's like above. It's out of this world. I saw another film, Emmis, that there was a flight. One of the flights tonight was delayed from JFK. One of the flights was delayed from JFK. They took off eventually, whatever it was, but it was delayed because of the rain before, right, earlier today. Who's announcing to the whole flight that the plane, they're allowed to get off the plane and come back on, but you should leave stuff on it? Who's announcing it? On the Zach, on the microphone to the whole entire plane? Some chassid, some guy is getting on, talking to the people about what they should do. Not one of the stewardess, not the pilot. When did things like this go on? Never. It's crazy. And then what goes on in Uman, forget about it, right? So, we can't even talk about that. Exactly. Once Shandy goes to sleep, we can talk about what Shmuel's doing. But anyways, Lamaisa, what were we saying? Why are we talking about this? Because we're on that har. When we're one and we're B'Kedusha, we're on a har, we're on a mountain. And when you're on a mountain, you're above this world. You're not bound by the limits of this world. You're not bound by the societal pressures of this world. Not bound by the temptations of this world. And that's what we want. We want to be free of the Yetzer Hara. So I feel like I'm on a mountain. So I get rid of the ayin of the Yetzer of the Hara. Get rid of, which is its essence, according to Ben Yehuda. I'm left with Har. I'm on top of the mountain. I'm on top of the mountain. That's who we want to be. Just came to me, Baruch Hashem, it's close with everybody here. And I think it's very simple. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Tevos, Har. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Tevos, Har. Backwards. Right? Reish Hay. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Tevos, Har. On Rosh Hashanah, I want to get onto that Har. I want to get onto the mountain. I want to be above this world, Baruch. I want to be above everything in it. How? By doing tshuva, which was created before the world, means above the world, and that's defeating the Yetzer Hara, the ayin of the Yetzer Hara specifically. The arrow in the eye of the Yetzer Hara, in the ayin of the Yetzer Hara. What's the ayin of the Yetzer Hara obviously represent? The ayin of the Yetzer Hara represents our ayin, our eye. Chazal tell us, if you saw the Yetzer Hara, it's very, very deep, but the Zohar talks about it, how the Yetzer Hara is just made up of like tons of ayins. That's what the Yetzer Hara is actually made up of. It's all ayins. It's all ayins. Tons of ayins. But what does that mean? So one idea is definitely how we look at other people. How we look at other people. Where do we have kinah? Are we looking for kavod? Are we looking down on others? The Yetzer Hara is very strong and made up of mechavera. Very strong in how we look at others. And it destroys us. It pushes us down into the world. That's what this world is all about. How we look at others. Look at the President of the United States. With all the good that he's done for Eretz Yisrael. And there is. And there's so much Hakar Satov we have to have. My sister Shmuel sent me a picture today. A big massive thing in Uman. Trump is with Uman. Or Uman's with Trump. Or this, I don't know, like massive. Like that's the biggest sign in all of Uman. And the truth is, we have a lot of Hakar Satov. He's done a lot of good for the Yidden. A lot of good in a lot of beautiful ways, and he has a strength and a gevura, and he's not afraid to do it for us. And there's a lot that. That being said also, let's be real and be honest, he's a Meshuggana. And one of the ways he's a Meshuggana is he's always looking at everybody else and so concerned what everybody else says, what everybody else thinks. So he has to comment on everybody. He never had a president like this in his life that cares so much about what everyone thinks and everyone says about him. So he has to mamish everything that anyone says he has to make a comment on. Leave it alone. You don't have to look around at everybody else. Worry about yourself. It's a big pagan. It's the Yetzer Hara. It's the ayin. Jealousy of everybody else. Looking down on other people. but of course as well for each and every one of us, the ayin represents our shmiras ayin. The biggest pagam of our dar is shmiras ayin, is not looking at things we're not supposed to be looking at. And it causes us to stray in our ruchnias, and causes us to stray in our simchas achayim. We've spoken about so much, but we have to be stronger. Even those of us who Baruch Hashem conquered the worst of places for now, and we're not, lo aleinu, struggling with pornography and that, but how we allow ourselves, what we allow ourselves to look at in this day and age. I was recently heard from I don't want to say who, he wouldn't want it to be said publicly, I don't think this, but a very big tzaddik, well-known tzaddik in Talmud Chacham, someone I look up to, I have a lot of kavod for, a very, very special person. And he said, he wanted to go, him and his wife, one night, they wanted just to go on a walk, and I think it was not such great weather, and they just needed some time to talk and spend time. So where they live, there's a mall. Now the mall, all the stores are closed at that point, it was later at night, but there's a movie theater in the mall. So because of that, the mall is open. And you can go into the mall, because of the movie theater. So they decided, let's go there, and we'll just walk around the mall. Nobody's there, nothing's open, and it's a good, nice place to just have some privacy and to talk and to quiet. And they went to this mall, and you know, the guy, the Rav was, the tzaddik was saying, he was a little chashash and marzayim, people would think he's going to the movies, but if someone saw him, because that's the only reason you'd be there at night, but okay, you hope he didn't see anybody. Okay, it was what it was. He goes and he said, I went to this mall, I haven't been in a mall in a long time, and there's nobody there. There's nobody, well, he's just him and his wife. But just to see the storefronts, the pretzels in every storefront, it was mamish destructive. He couldn't handle it. It was so terrible. He was mamish so sad that this is what's out there, and this is what the world is seeing constantly. And that's just looking at stores. He couldn't handle it. How desensitized we are to think like this and to be like this. And we need stronger shmiras ayin. Because then it destroys us. At a Talmud recently came to talk to me, and now she starts crying to me. This is a Talmud who worked strongly in Shmir Sinayim, and I knew for over a year, Mamish is as strong as could be. Mamish wasn't nichshad in full once. And he starts crying to me, how over the last 2 weeks he's been very bad, and he's been falling tremendously. And it was sad. He's Mamish, so sad. And you saw him so destroyed. And then he starts telling me, he's real in every other way as well. Big Ben Torah and learning and about me. He says, Rebbe, I've lost it all. I Mamish don't even care to go to Minyan anymore. I don't even care to learn anymore. I don't even care for anything anymore. There's a guy who's holding in every way. But it's clear when he's been nichshal in this area, that just created a pagam in every area of his life, and he can't live with that contradiction, so he just gave it up completely. And it's been metami himself, his whole self, and he said, we just have to work on this area, see, everything else will come back quickly, don't worry. He says, but I have no desire to learn, no desire, that's because of this. We're working on it, he's getting back, that's Hashem is Baruch. But that's the ayin of the Yetzer Hara. That's the ayin of the Yetzer Hara. Yosef HaTzadik is the koyach keneged this, right? Yosef HaTzadik was able to withstand the taivas. So Yosef HaTzadik goes down to Mitzrayim before everyone else. Because Mitzrayim was like, from what the Svarim talk about Mitzrayim, it was basically like our world today. It was the hub of Zima and Pritzas and like what all of us have to live through. Basically that was Mitzrayim. But Yosef HaTzadik goes down by himself first to build a foundation, to give a koyach of the ability to come out alive, basically. And Yosef was ben parah, Yosef ben parah alei ayin. He was able to have ayin toiv, an ayin of kedusha. And therefore Yosef HaTzadik, when was he let out of jail, Beit Asurim? On Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah has this koach as well. Rosh Hashanah has this koach to defeat that ayin of the Yetzer Hara and to lift ourselves up onto a har. Lift ourselves up. Miyalib arashem miyakam kum chadshah. Because when you defeat the ayin of Yetzer Hara, what are you left with? You're left with the har. The har of Rosh Hashanah, of Rosh Tevos, har. How was Yosef HaTzadik able to do it? How were you able to work on a Shmir Sinayim, both of Pritzus and a Shmir Sinayim of looking at people in the right way? We need to have the Hashkafas Achayim be looking at a Torah in the proper way. We have to use our eyes to look at Torah and to learn Torah and to be one with Torah. And you saw a tremendous berhetiv. He brings down, we know, Yoiz Vetzadik was Ben Zakunim. And Rashi there says, what does Ben Zakunim mean? That Yaakov Inul sat and learned Torah with him. He says, Zakunim, this is berhetiv, says Zakunim is Zayin, is Zraim, Kuf is Kachim, Nun is Noshim, Yud, he says, Yud is Yeshuos, and Yeshuos, we know the Gemara Shabbos says, is Nezikin, Gemara Shabbos Lamed Aleph, and Mem is Moed. The only thing that's left out is Taharos, because he says, Taharos is the whole world, word is a whole, because Zakunim, Unkla says, is Chochma, and the Gemara Shabbos Lamed Aleph says, Das, which is Chochma and Das, is Tahara. Taharos. So you have, within Ben Zakunim meant, he was steiging in Torah in Shishay Sidre Mishnah. And he was steiging in Torah Barasi Yetahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. What the Gemara in Kedushin Davlamid tells us, there's only one antidote to Yetahara, to defeat the Ayin of Yetahara. And that's Torah. That means Torah is what could defeat and give us Shemir Tanayim. Torah brings us back up onto that har. These are days of tshuva, starting from Chet to Egel. Egel was Ayin Gal. The Ayin was revealed again. Egel is Ayin Gal. It's when the Ayin was revealed. The Yetzer was strong again. We're trying to do tshuva during these days to defeat that. How so? How so? Through Torah. Barasi Yetzer, Barasi Torah Tav. We have to take upon ourselves to be Amal B'Torah. More Kabbalahs than Limud HaTorah. That's the biggest shmir for our einayim. Ki ner metzvah Torah or, it's the light of our eyes. Is the heilige Torah. After me, if you go on my desk and bring me the English book, Touched by Tshuva or something like that. It's called Spiros. Thank you. Happens to be, if you take these days, are very special days that we say, L'David Hashem Oyer V'Ishi. If you take gematria, L'David, Yudke, Valke, L'David Hashem, L'David Hashem is exactly gematria, 70. Just connect it, Ayin. L'David Hashem, Oyri, to enlighten us, to have the clarity, to have the proper clarity, and defeat that Ayin of the Yetzirah, and be left with a Har. U'becharta v'chayim. We want to choose life. When I look and I use my ayin for all the wrong things, I feel dead. I feel disgusting. U'becharta b'chayim. B'chayim is also exactly gematria 70. I defeat the ayin of the Yetzirah, and I'm on the mountain above this world. Mi'ala b'Hashem mi'yakum kum kum kacho. I'm connected to all the kedusha of the world, all kedusha of Harabayas, all kedusha of Haramaria, all kedusha of Yosef HaTzadik. I was reading, I read over the summer actually, but I'm rereading certain things that I took note of. Over the summer I read this book by Rabbi Chil Spiro, Touch of Purity. It's this book of Torahs and stories for tshuva, for these days really. So he has an amazing mashal here that I want to share with the chevra. I'm going to read it from the book. He says it's brought down by the Levushei Srad. There was a king who had a precious daughter. He always knew that he would be extremely careful in choosing a husband for her, and he would settle for nothing less than perfection. However, when the time came for the young lady to wed, all prospective matches were told the same thing. Do not bother trying to find favor in the king's eyes, since he has already chosen a husband for his special daughter. The young man was the son of the king's longtime friend, and the king just knew he would be the one. Some were shocked at the choice. The young man had not grown up in royal company after all. No matter though, the king knew that the boy would be able to adapt to the life of the royals. He even brought the future prince into the castle to teach him some of the finer points of life in the palace. When the prince was finally ready, the wedding took place. Those who had been rejected were quite skeptical about the king's pick and voiced their concern. In order to show that he was listening, the king decided to support his choice by holding a sort of trial where the chazan would be able to defend himself. On the day of the trial, the groom did well, refuting most of the claims against him. However, for some questions and accusations, he did not have appropriate answers. The complainers were beginning to feel that they had won the case. But then the king's daughter came to stand by the side of her husband and spoke up on his behalf. Seeing that she was so committed to him, the others backed off. However, one day everything changed. On that day, the young couple had a terrible argument. underneath his new princely outfit and manners, the prince showed that he was still an unrefined brute. And this particular fight brought out the worst in him. The young husband physically and verbally attacked his wife, leaving her bruised, bloodied, and devastated. At the end of the argument, he even had the gall to throw her out of their home. Just so happened, the next day, the young man received a letter from the king. He was being called to the palace to once again defend his place as the prince's husband. It seems the complaints about the issue kept coming, and the king felt it was time for yet another trial. The prince was speechless. How could he possibly pair with his wife and quell the rabble-rousers when he had just mistreated her in the worst way possible? The new prince immediately ran to his father, the king's longtime friend. He poured out his heart to his father, explaining his dilemma. His father told him that in order to gain the acceptance of the antagonist, he'd have to once again appear with his wife by his side. Otherwise, there was no way he could come out the victor from the upcoming trial. The prince realized that his life depended on this hearing, but what could he do? He just abused the one person who could help him. Eventually, his father came up with a plan for him. So right now, he will not be able to appear before the king on your behalf. Only your wife can do that for you. However, I can ask the king for an extension of 10 days, in which time your wife will be able to heal. But during that time, you must treat her well. Make her feel and look beautiful again. Then I will come along as well, and together we will silence those who speak against you. The Levush Yisrael explains this mashal simply and eloquently. The king is the Almighty, and his daughter is the Holy Torah, for which all the angels are clamoring. They all want the Torah to be theirs. They're upset the king is planning on giving it to someone else. But the king informs the angels that he has an old friend, the Avos, our patriarchs, who have a son to whom his daughter will be given. But the son is not refined. He does not possess the qualities of his father. Initially, the son treats the princess well. Yet over time, he resorts to abusing her, giving in to his nature. This is the way we mistreat the Torah. We abuse it and fail to perform the mitzvah properly. Finally, we receive a letter, our wake-up call on Rosh Hashanah, that our relationship being questioned. Do we indeed have the right to have this princess as our wife? As Rosh Hashanah comes and we are informed that we must defend ourselves, we realize that the Torah will not speak on our behalf. For how would it look to have a bruised and bloody Torah defend us? Instead, we turn to our patriarch, the Avos, and we ask them to speak to the friend, the Almighty, on our behalf, through our tefillos and tekios and tzchus Avos. We are then advised that we have 10 days of Seres Shmei Tshuva to beautify and improve our relationship with the Torah. After that has been accomplished, then we can, with the merit of our Avos, stand before the tribunal and hope for a positive judgment. Chevra, if we think about the year and we think about who we are, each and every one of us, if we're sincere, we're honest, we know we could have been so much more. There's so many areas we need to improve on. There's so many times that we've fallen. And it's scary walking into Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and to be judged. But realize, just as the Medrash said, the Mashal said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusted us with His Torah, because we're the children of Avraham and Yaakov, who He loves dearly. And we've all had times when we've treated the Torah beautifully as well, and have built that connection with the Torah in a beautiful way. And there are times when we've abused, and times when we've fallen. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us these last days to rebuild and fix, and we have time to get ourselves back on the side of the Torah and the Torah back on our sides, to stand by our side during Yimei HaDin. These are days of tshuva, and tshuva is to defeat the Yetzer Hara in our lives, to get rid of that ayin, to fix our eyes, to work on our shmiras and ayin, to work on how we look at others. And there's no better way than reconnecting to Torah, ki ner mitzvah v'Torah ar. That's our avodah during these days. And if we're zoiche to take these days seriously, we're zoiche to rebuild during these 10 days that relationship with Torah. We'll be zoiche to defeat that ayin and be left on that har, not just to rise up, to stay up there, to stay up on the mountain, above this world, above all the pressures and the norm of this society that's so immoral that we live in. But be on that mountain of Hashem, be one with Hashem, and defeat the Yetzer Hara, and ultimately shecht the Yetzer Hara, and be zoicha to look at the Yetzer Hara like a har, like the tzaddik that we learned in the Gemara in Sukkah, as we're standing on that har. And then each and every one of us will be zoicha to ksiv chsimat tayva,
a Guga Ben Shiar, a year of Simcha, a year of Bracha, a year of Refuah and Yeshua, a year of Shmira, a year where we feel Hashem by our side every moment, a year where we treat the Torah in the beautiful way that we should be treating it, for each and every one of us, for our families, and for all of Klal Yisrael. Shana Taiva Masuka, full of Simcha and Bracha.